This is Dr. Donald S. Reinhardt. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the orientation and analysis period of the PIVOT system. Because of the initial complexities of this scientific approach for the study and practice of a brass instrument, and the limited time allotted for study and practice by many performers, supervisors, instructors, and students, the PIVOT system orientation and analysis period was inaugurated in my New York studios in the early 40s. This initial presentation was so thorough and successful that it was adopted on a permanent basis for all new students, regardless of their particular playing or teaching status. Imagine how completely receptive a student would be if he were to receive a brainwash to relieve him of his many and varied brass inhibitions before commencing this study. His open and completely neutral mind could absorb the new and logical approaches in a very short time. Your instructor could get through to him literally without a struggle. However, since this is not entirely practical momentarily, I will open with a short discussion on the proper mental approach to study and practice. The proper mental attitude towards study and practice consists of the student's sincere belief in his capacity for hard work and unfaltering concentration. A full awareness that any genuine progress requires time, and a justified faith in the ability and the integrity of his instructor. The student must, as the saying goes, keep his eye on the main chance. That is sometimes a difficult task, particularly when the study material seems exceedingly difficult or exceptionally remote from the type of music the student expects to encounter during his playing career. But it is absolutely necessary that the student bear constantly in mind that the purpose of striving toward mastery of very difficult material is to make all other materials seem easier, and that the purpose of striving toward mastery of a wide variety of material is to assure of a well-rounded, thorough musicianship. What is the improper mental attitude toward study and practice? The improper mental attitude toward study and practice consists of a general misconception on the part of the student of the entire purpose of study and practice. This attitude embodies erroneous impressions and undesirable personal traits, either singly or in combination. In the opinion of the student with this malady, the instructor is always guilty until proven innocent. Such a student may come to take a lesson simply to see what the instructor has on the ball. He may have been forewarned that the teacher would try to change his embouchure, and his visit may be a combination of fear and general mistrust. Or he may have visited so many teachers previously with negligible results that the new instructor has three strikes against him before the lesson even begins. Or the student may have such tremendous conceit that he is completely unreceptive to any suggestions from anyone. His definition of a splendid instructor is one who will compliment him, not criticize him. Or he may be the type who imagines that somewhere there is a magic method whereby he may acquire overnight the relaxed perfection while playing for which he yearns. Or he may have formed the habit of absorbing the remarks of many different players without considering the source or the validity of the information. Or he may be the type who experiments continually with different model mouthpieces, instruments of various bores, makes, and models, lip exercising gadgets, and embouchure formations, to name just a few of the devices employed by the escapist. Such closed mind specimens should realize that logic, concentration, hard work, and sweat are essential factors for study and practice. Otherwise, they should save their instruction money. The pivot system in its entirety is taught in four separate categories of development. Entering each new phase is dictated by Mother Nature and the student's ability to carry out the numerous instructional procedures. Certain phases have been covered in a few weeks, and with others, the same phase has required as long as a year and a half. This is highly personalized and will be discussed in detail. This system, working on tried and tested principles, first of all analyzes and diagnoses the physical equipment of the player and then presents a specific, concrete set of rules and procedures which enable the individual to utilize with the greatest possible efficiency the lips, teeth, gums, jaws, and general anatomy with which he is naturally endowed. The study of the pivot system is absolutely essential for all brass instrument performers because strict adherence to a musical approach deprives the student of basic mechanical necessities which are vital to his uninterrupted improvement on the instrument. If you are a performer experiencing the frustration which comes from years of wasted time with outmoded teaching methods, you will be delighted with the manner in which the pivot system adds to your playing ability. This method shows the player how to transfer the purely mechanical command of his instrument into musical expression based upon the most exacting standards and modern conceptions. Worldwide requests have been received for a definitive encyclopedia of the pivot system, the most unique, comprehensive training in modern brass playing mechanics that can be obtained today. This system is definitely not to be compared with traditional page-turning lessons to which you unfortunately may have been subjected. Musical coaching, before the student has been given the time to master the basic mechanical necessities, is one of the chief reasons for the all too numerous brass playing failures. You must realize that there is a vast difference between the traditional exercise coaching and the teaching of the pivot system. Many fine musicians are utter failures as performers because they have always been completely lacking in their knowledge of essential playing mechanics for their particular physical type. Failure is always close at hand when any brass player refuses to recognize the fact that one man's meat is another man's poison. Because of the limitation of smaller volumes, my other 8 books on brass playing already on the market should certainly be augmented by this encyclopedia of the pivot system. This tremendously lengthy text of interrelated questions and answers is encyclopedic in scope, but not in arrangement. I have adopted the question and answer approach because it was deemed most useful. The questions on any particular phase are presented in logical sequence insofar as possible, but frequently, because of the nature of the material treated, they may seem to overlap or to be repetitive to some extent. In keeping with the intent of all the varied material comprising the Encyclopedia of the Pivot System, the present work is designed for profitable study and practice, not for performance on the bandstand or orchestra pit. During an engagement, the player's powers of concentration should be devoted entirely to the matter of making a good showing. This is both necessary and proper. Diligent thought and application during the study and practice period will assure you that the benefits derived from the pivot system will gradually carry over into performance during the engagement. When you leave the practice woodshed to mount the bandstand, make the change mentally as well as physically. I sincerely hope that the numerous questions and answers concerning the many problems which confront both the playing and the teaching professions will prove stimulating and instructive to all students who are genuinely interested in the entire brass field, whether it is from a playing or a teaching viewpoint. Many new students ask me a question concerning my sensation theory. So I'll quote some of this from the encyclopedia, and some will be ad-libbed. This is a subject which often brings on a lot of comment to folks who do not understand. Now, if you'll hear me out and give me your undivided attention, I'm sure that this will say something to you. What is the sensation theory, and how can its adoption improve my playing? The sensation theory is the approach to the instrument whereby the player relies primarily on feeling rather than on sound to produce his notes. Generally speaking, the more completely the dependence on feeling the player can achieve, the more accuracy he will acquire. As dependency on sound is lessened, the player arrives at how a note will feel rather than how it will sound. His accuracy and assurance will grow commensurately. Most of the finest professionals whom I have analyzed seem to have a balance between the feel and the sound factors. In my opinion, the most consistent brass performers predominate in feel rather than sound. However, in most cases, they do not seem to be aware of this vital fact. Let us consider the factors involved in the sensation theory. Because if you are to develop and maintain your maximum playing consistency, it is essential that you thoroughly comprehend your pre-playing and playing sensations so that you may constantly utilize your unified sensation during your performance. Your pre-playing sensation is the feel that you experience in your embouchure formation and anatomy a split second before you execute your attack for the particular tone to be played. Your playing sensation is the feel that you experience in your embouchure formation and anatomy during the actual blowing of your instrument. Your unified sensation, the must in all consistent brass playing, is the merging of your pre-playing and playing sensations into one solidified feel. On your so-called good playing days, your pre-playing and playing sensations merge into the essential unified sensation. When your performance is not up to par, your pre-playing and playing sensations are and act as separate and independent factors. Therefore, the purpose of your daily warm-up routines must be to reestablish yesterday's unified sensation, or to adjust and align your pre-playing and playing sensations until they merge into this vital unified sensation. If you perform this essential daily task in an intelligent manner, it is possible that your unified sensation will remain constant from one plane to the next. Always remember that your nerves, not your muscles, dictate mouthpiece placement. A consistent, unified sensation means consistent performance. Widely separated pre-playing and playing sensations mean inconsistent performance. The player who rarely requires a lengthy warm-up routine has either a natural or an acquired ability for retaining his unified sensation from one performance to the next. It is because of this vital fact that some players are and remain splendid performers with little or no warm-up and surprisingly little practice. Any performer can develop and maintain this much coveted form of playing satisfaction. However, he must be ever conscious of his pre-playing and playing sensations merging into the essential unified sensation during his daily warm-ups and practice periods. Remember, practice without concentration is just a little better than no practice at all. Every individual possesses five basic senses: touch, hearing, sight, taste, and smell. They vary in relative prominence and sensitivity with each and every person. For example, many performers who possess perfect or absolute pitch, that is, the ability to recognize and name the exact pitch of any tone sounded, regardless of timbre, often play with faulty intonation because of a weak sense of feel. There are also many performers who possess relative or related pitch, that is, the ability to recognize and name the pitch by actual relationship with another pitch, often play well in tune because of a strong sense of feel. This balance between the unified sensation and the intonation is vital for developing and maintaining fine intonation and maximum playing proficiency. Considerable concentration in the proper channels may be absolutely essential on your so-called bad playing days, so that you may adjust and align your pre-playing and playing sensations and make them merge harmoniously into the unified sensation. Perseverance is a definite virtue at this point, because the entire sensation theory is often vague and difficult to comprehend, and even more exacting to execute when it is first attempted. Your unified sensation of today must be an exact duplicate of your unified sensation of yesterday. This means consistent all-around performance. The idea of mastering the proper feel at the proper time must be foremost in your mind during your daily warm-up routines. Gradually, the proper sensations will be introduced and slowly assimilated. During the initial stages of any warm-up routine, remember how it feels, not how it sounds. When your sensation before playing and your sensation while playing become one sensation, you have succeeded in effecting the necessary adjustment and alignment. Always strive to arrive at the unified sensation as early as possible in your daily warm-up routines. You are definitely not prepared to concentrate on pitch and sound until this task has been adequately performed. I strongly advise all students to memorize all warm-up proceedings as quickly as possible so that they may be performed with the eyes closed. The purpose of closing the eyes is to enhance feel. And as we have just learned, feel is vital. By staying alert to feel or sensation, many things can be mastered in a much shorter time. Remember, as I stated previously, the nerves dictate placement. The muscles simply fortify what the nerves dictate. Another important point to bring up this time is one that's frequently overlooked by all players and teachers. Assuming that a performer is right-handed, that is on trumpet, cornet, flugelhorn, or trombone, what is the full significance of the left-hand grip on the instrument during the playing? The left-hand grip on the instrument during the playing must provide complete support for the instrument, stabilize and retain the mouthpiece placement position upon the outer embouchure, and direct and control the particular physical pivot. You may assume that the left hand grip on the instrument must be firm at all times during the playing. A jellyfish left hand grip on the instrument permits the mouthpiece to hang, float, twist, or drift upon the outer embouchure formation. This evil brings on the unwanted multiple embouchures and many other forms of playing difficulty. Some instructors aver that if the instrument is not held in this relaxed manner, too much mouthpiece pressure against the lips is encouraged. I have found the exact opposite to be true. A loose left-hand grip on the instrument permits the left arm to hug the side of the body and the mouthpiece to be maneuvered into a distorted position upon the embouchure formation. Remember, relax does not mean collapse. The right hand is intended to finger and vibrate on the trumpet, cornet, and flugelhorn, and manipulate the slide on the trombone. However, it must never support the instrument. Always keep the left hand grip firm and the right hand position free and relaxed throughout the playing. Another question which seems to bother everyone when they first come in is, what is the pivot system? The pivot system is a scientific, practical, proven method of producing the utmost in range, power, flexibility, and endurance on any cupped mouthpiece brass instrument. This system, working on tried and tested principles, first of all, analyzes and diagnoses the physical equipment of the performer, and then presents a specific concrete set of rules and procedures, which enable the individual to utilize with the greatest possible efficiency the lips, teeth, gums, jaws, and general anatomy with which he is naturally endowed. In its entirety, the pivot system shows the player how effectively to transfer the purely mechanical command of his instrument into musical expression based upon the most exacting modern standards and conceptions. It represents a thoroughly organized plan for the development of a brass performer as a complete musician. It coordinates tone production and technique with musical theory, reading, and phrasing to achieve as quickly as possible for each individual his desired goal, regardless of the field of music that he has chosen. Another question which seems to alarm a lot of students, does a performer who is endowed with even teeth and a smooth gum formation possess a natural playing advantage from these causes? A player may have even teeth and a smooth gum formation. However, he may possess a malocclusion. A malocclusion, by the way, in plain English, is a cockeyed bite, which prevents him from developing and maintaining his embouchure formation on the all-essential four legs, that is, the solid playing base or foundation. Even teeth and smooth gums, without the all-essential even bite of the jaw, never guaranteed embouchure success or any playing advantage to the performer. Many performers possess very uneven teeth and gums, but are endowed with a more even bite, that is, with little or no malocclusion. Therefore, when the formation of their teeth does not cause inner lip abrasions, they have little or no embouchure difficulty. The jaw lineup is far more important than even teeth and a smooth gum formation. There are some few exceptions to this rule. I want each and every one of you to become a real student of the Encyclopedia of the Pivot System. And I will be on hand to answer your questions in case the book fails to do so. I repeat, please make a habit of some daily study of the Encyclopedia. After you've gone over this and really studied it several times, then I would make a daily habit of always reading through question 109, or I should say statement 109 in this case, discuss the 35 basic points of the pivot system in a brief, concise manner. It starts on page 229, and the 35 points go all the way up to and including page 237, the end of the book. Now that is a very abbreviated version of the pivot system itself. I want to give you some insight to the statements that are made. They are based on utopian standards of playing. In short, if we were to make a robot and he would have to be perfect, we could use rules like that. In short, they provide you with a straight and narrow before you go off and detour or deviate. And much like the harmony teacher, who the first year or so gives you 20 to 22 don'ts. And then when you're a little disgusted with this fella, when the summer vacation comes along, you're glad to get away. And you come back and you're going to this man's class again, and you say to yourself, oh, are we going to get some more negatives now? Some more don'ts? And you go back, and much to your surprise, now he's showing you how to break the rules, which he tried to teach you the first year as gospel truth. So your first thought is, why didn't he tell me this in the first place, and I could have saved the first year? Well, the idea is, and he must give you the straight and narrow before you can deviate. Some of us can read the Ten Commandments. If we live up to it, we're pretty good people. But it does present the straight and narrow, doesn't it? The same with the 35 points. I realize that you as human beings are not going to be able to adopt and carry out all those 35 points. But permit me to say that the closer you stay within the realm or jurisdiction of those points, the better and more consistent brass player you're going to be. Now, it's just as clear as that. When you come into the other room, one of the first things I do is examine your jaw, your lips, and your teeth and gums. And I might say your general facial and physical anatomy. In most cases, while you're here during the orientation and analysis period, I set your pivot. After I set your pivot, and give you very definite instructions as to what to do to ascend and descend in your particular physical case, I start you on what we call the pivot stabilizer. At the moment, this is very, very important to you that you carry this out every day. First of all, when you're shown how to use your muscles to ascend and descend, for your particular self, no one else, just for you, then I give you a chart to work on this daily. The first time through any one of these short exercises, I want you to use diligent mirror observation. Look at it. Know how it looks when it's right. Know how it looks when it's wrong. On the repeat, close the eyes. And as you recall, we close the eyes to enhance feel, because you have to memorize the feel for correct ascending and correct descending. Now, your pivot stabilizer is going to be the first thing you do for a long time to come. Your pivot and other mechanical points, which I will give you, must be exaggerated, grossly exaggerated, while going through that page, the pivot stabilizer. The purpose of exaggeration is so some of it will rub off. When you do go out on the gig and just blow, so to speak, not unlike many other things which require study. Exaggeration on the part of a teacher is very often a must, particularly when some mentalities are involved. It's too bad that all of you cannot receive a Russian brainwash before you come in for this orientation and analysis. And maybe I could talk to you then on equal neutralized footing, so that your mind at least would be in neuter gender, so to speak. If that were possible, just imagine how much you could absorb in a short time. But with a lot of you, I've got a lot of talking to do to, first of all, to show you that I'm very dedicated to my profession. And secondly, to prove to you that you certainly can be helped. I'm so sure of that, I would take an oath on it. The only thing there that prevents me from getting through to you as quickly as possible on my part are your stored up inhibitions, your little things which you set up into your subconscious, which initially I have difficulty in erasing. So if you come to me, please come in this room with an open mind, ready to receive, because I'm sure I'm ready to give. But to receive and receive all and get the benefit from all that you receive, that requires an open mind that can absorb and retain. So I want to mention that to you. Please carry out the things I tell you to do. And when there's a question, kindly ask questions. I repeat that. The only stupid questions are the ones which you do not ask. So ask questions. I'm sure I feel better when you do, and I know you will too.
For many months to come,
the pivot stabilizer must supersede all other work. If you have no other form of a warm-up, so to speak, the pivot stabilizer must be in there pitching. That is number one. Now, number two, we open the pivot system manual. And this is going to follow your pivot stabilizer. And what you're going to do is going to be different every day. So I don't like to use the word warm up. That's always taken the wrong way. This is a build up. We're out to build up playing reserve, all kinds of playing reserve, reserve power, reserve range, reserve fluency of articulation, reserve technique. To have in excess of what is required means that you can relax in what you have to do. And one of the reasons the 365 horsepower is put in an automobile is that it can just loaf at 65 because it has so much reserve. It's exactly the same with your plane. You need reserve in all departments. In range, for example, if you want to play a high G above high C in public, then you need the C above the high C home in the bedroom. 20% off for nerves, upset stomachs, bad bus trips, swollen lips, feverish lips, a cold, hastily eating overly hot foods, scorching the membrane, playing a long time in bad acoustics. I guess you can go on this way for a long time and naming things that would tear down reserve. And we need reserve in all departments. We need an abundance of it so that we can play consistently and we can relax while we're playing consistently. This is very important. It shouldn't be hard to understand. We can't have just enough of anything to be successful in what we're doing. Otherwise, we'll have nervous frustration no matter what we have to play. So I want to make that clear.